This is Dr. Brass Sachs. Hello? You're on the air?
Hello, Mr. S. How are you?
Okay, and you?
I'm good. You can hold me long, so I got to wait so I can go quick, yes, sir?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the gentleman who just talked with the guns, why blame the boy that pulled the gun? Why don't he blame the boy that met the gun? And his problem would be solved. No, sir, you have Mr. Sachs guns on the program.
I don't know how you would solve it, but you proceed.
Well, no, I'm here to solve it. If you're making that, how I'm here to solve it. Okay. The guns only meant to protect the wealthy people that already done enough wrong to the earth. But let me only get out of the world.
There's money in guns.
Of course.
Right.
It's and who's making the money off it?
It's an industry.
The rich people, there's industry. Rich people making the money off it.
So as long as you have people in a position where they can make
money
off of something.
So no, small man's trying to make some money off it now. It's the issue. It's only when the small man started to make money.
No, it is when
things.
The small man kills another small man. Because that's really what's happening around here.
Drugs was always in the middle class and the upper class wasn't a problem. It's only a problem when they get
no, that's not the issue. The only issue here, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Is that most of the time when somebody is killed in this country, It's an average person.
Yeah.
A little person. No big people.
Mm-hmm. You'll figure that for some big people, no?
No.
That what you're saying?
No. I'm saying to you that you don't want anybody. But when you create an environment...
So then go back to what you said. When you... Blame the man that met the gun.
When you create an environment where the people at the bottom are eliminating each other, and don't recognize that their lives matter, then something is wrong with the way that we are thinking.
But 99%...
You can't rationalize this on the basis of the fact that the drugs trade should, as far as you are concerned, come down to people, average people to exploit it, no?
It only come issue when they get down here. And you can't...
And some of you has just got something... Somebody tell me just now that people are supposed to use the call-in program to say whatever... They want to say.
No, sometimes
you guys really go overboard.
But I don't understand where you're getting that. The issue, to solve the issue, would be by not making the guns. That you hope you can solve the issue, sir?
But you went on you didn't say that alone. You went on to justify the drugs trade, too.
To justify what I'm saying. The issue only become a problem when they get down to small man. Look how much guns those people kill in World War One and World War Two.
Anyhow, what's your other point?
And come along with the Iraq wars, and you want them making the noise?
What's your other point?
Good. Miss Husband, she was just there with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't stand the journalists in this country. You got over 10,000 people, hotel workers in this country, and getting the money. And you won't raise this question with the politicians. Just get there and they ain't saying nothing. The Prime Minister just moved Kerry Simmons and put somebody that is not elected, not the one vote for. You know why? Because Kerry Simmons would be in trouble next election, if he remain there, and want to sit there and say nothing. So she got to put somebody, know that they got a fierce electorate in that ministry.
All right, can I ask you, what's your understanding of why the tourism sector is in trouble?
My understanding?
Yes.
I ain't got no understanding what you're telling, the tourism industry is in trouble. My understanding that we pay the national insurance over the years, and we should be getting the money now. I don't know if it's a trouble. I believe it is a business that will trouble everything.
Oh, but
I believe that is a business that was more making money for people outside where they're more than in the country.
Oh, but nothing has happened since March to make it worse.
Nothing has happened since March to make it worse?
Yeah.
You talking COVID and that kind of thing? But nobody talking COVID, no. We talking about your money that you're paying for over the years.
You mean the NIS?
Of course, don't you know.
So that is your only concern as it relates to... I thought you were raising the broader issue of the state of the tourism industry.
No, I ain't getting that part.
Okay.
I thought we ain't up to now, we ain't not getting our money from the national insurance. And I believe it's because it might be because the hotel industry probably ain't paying any money.
Okay.
We thought that this business was the government fooled us and tell us that it was a $10 billion industry. But today, I know we realize that it ain't what it was saying.
How so? Because you couldn't get your NIS.
Well, for all this much, you got to wait for people to get a little money.
So what I got to do with the size of the industry?
Pardon me?
What I got to do with the size of the industry? That has to do with the volume of claims that the government is facing.
If you is a $10 billion industry, damn, you collect enough money in national insurance.
But,
isn't that?
But stop, sir. Can I help to point out something to you?
Yes, go ahead.
Haven't you heard the government talk about the thousands of people who have had to claim national insurance, not only hotel workers, but other workers? Just stop. But other workers as well, right? Which means that...
They haven't got the money?
I don't know about the money part, but I know about the process, the procedure could well become clogged because of that as well. It is possible that they may be having a money problem
That's the problem, Ellis. That is the problem. What clog what?
Three months, over 3 months,
now people can't have money to a clog. And I live 2x3 country.
Well, I can't. That's your assessment.
It's a money issue, man. It's a money issue. And the government says it's a money issue. Next thing, she talking about all these small business setups here and all sorts of things. Not for the Chinese and the Indians and the white people making these things. What industry we will got? When they get here and destroy all of us and manufacturing everything, sugar industry, everything, and no go out import everything to so we got industry, we got our small business people, where we should be creating our own thing to send to the world. I don't get these people to understand at all.
Without cost of production, too?
What cost of production, what?
You dismiss everything.
Mr. Ellis, listen. We just got to borrow money to pay workers. Why do we pay more wages than the money that we got? Come on, man. These things are making sense some more.
Who does that?
The government borrow money or print money to pay workers.
Right.
So if the Americans or whoever, British, whoever give you $2 billion, we got to print probably another $2 or $3 billion to make before shortfalls. That way we have so much debt, Mr. Ellis. And these British people run this country, you talking about Onaf and Tom Adams and all them there, and they want to get to Tom Adams. Because, you know, you said the most significant prime minister, he was the most significant because he had the money. What to do to Morris Bishop to get all the money from the Americans? That's where he was the most significant, sir.
I never knew that they got that kind of money for.
Oh, come on, you don't know.
For the Grenada invasion.
You know that we had business down here, Intel, that got given the transport board money enough. And only in 1986 when we changed the government, all them business and people that were right now here before. Check and see, Mr. Ellis. And you wonder if people should know these things or not. But nobody ain't thinking. Everybody. So they forget what we're going on. It's when we're in trouble, then the thing. But no matter, it's all the time, all them business that Tom Adams names that run around and send down here. In 1986, when the government changed all the shipping, and Intel was the biggest one, where was getting transport board money enough?
All right, sir. Well, down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, good morning.
All right, I wanted to continue a discussion you and I was having to as it relates to transparency. And you had raised an issue about the buses. And I want to continue from that vein because the minister has been changed to another ministry. But I think the question still remains to be answered as to the cost of the buses and the contracts, how these contracts were awarded. But what's more significant is that the buses have been in the island over 2 weeks and it's not on the road as yet. And it seems to be, I would think, for we to profit from the buses, the sooner the buses get into operation, the quicker we can start to recover the money we have to pay for the buses.
Well, I think that, as I said before, and I hold to the position, that the country needs to be better educated about the presence of those buses on our roads, what will it imply? This is a country that has gone in the direction of putting the cart before the horse. To a large extent, private sector interests set about to introduce things to Barbados, sometimes before all the necessary infrastructure is there.
In fact, now you mentioned infrastructure. I thought what was a great idea that there were electric buses and there would be solar powered, and we would have seen panels on the roof of transport board and a kind of energy farm being set up that would power these buses. But I haven't seen anything like that around transport board. So So when you talk about infrastructure, I assume, when you talk about putting the cart before the horse, I assume you mean things like that.
Look, I will say to you quite frankly that safety issues must be explained to people who are traveling on electric buses. I mean, don't believe for 1 minute that you're going to transition from the old approach to the new, and there are no different implications associated with it. People who are dealing with fire service and those areas are the ones who need to be in the vanguard of spelling out to people how things will have to be done differently. I mean,
I'm not here to alarm anybody,
but I'm just saying that basic common sense demands that more work will have to be done to encourage to educate and to enlighten members of the public on what are those implications.
In fact, if we follow on from what you were saying in terms of educating the public about the safety issues, the even scarier thing is that the buses are supposed to carry people that are physically challenged also.
So you say scary? Look, let me say to you, a fire could break out on the old buses too.
Correct.
In those circumstances. I'm not saying that something peculiarly different can happen there. All I'm saying to you is, as long as you bring a fleet of buses of that size in, and it is not only applicable to the buses, it comes to the fore because you have a state agency that is involved in this kind of transition. But even at the basic level within our communities, there is a need for people to have a better appreciation of what are the implications of the switch. And the safety implications, are they any different from what applied when you were using the old technology? We have just gone into this thing, you know, and behave
right,
as though, you know, you don't have to make any adjustment. And the danger
My fear with it is that because the minister has changed, that the question fall off the radar,
yeah,
where the public should be. The public should be educated as to the difficulty or the challenges, or even just be aware.
Just be aware
of what can happen with these buses.
You need to be aware. That is the issue, and therefore part of the, I can't imagine that they're going to just roll out a fleet of new buses like that without being involved in that kind of education campaign. But that is separate and distinct from the unanswered question about the procurement.
Yeah, but the problem is that the longer they stay off the road, the more the cost goes up, because you got to add the fact that they are not bringing any income to your cost.
Somebody has to explain what is happening with the buses.
Right. And the other thing in terms of the transparency that we were discussing is the whole thing from the chairman of the Water Authority had said that the Water Authority is doing the upgrade in order to get water into St. John, which everybody would like happening across those parishes that have been suffering. But she's saying that the Water Authority has put in $6 million, and the government has put in more to do this upgrade. But nobody has told us how the contracts have been awarded, what's the cost of it, how much money we are paying for it. And these things continue to concern me, because we don't want the Auditor General report to continue to report these things every year as though nothing has changed around this place.
But who doesn't want that? You might not want it, but there may be other people who really don't care about it.
We seem to be being ignored because we are asking these things. I'm sure you would agree that you yourself have been constantly saying that we need more information, we need more information. And yet, we got a cabinet reshuffle. I don't know if that's to avoid getting the answers, but the answers are not coming forward.
Well, that depends upon you all, because you
it
have to...
It depends on we all, not
yes,
you all, we all.
Because the numbers matter. And therefore, if the members of the...
You add your voice to my voice, that's too.
My voice is often heard. So it is important that you all add your voices to the concerns that you have. That's
what
we need to
add,
do.
We can also add a cap to it because they haven't put an offer on the table yet to be taken up. But I heard the Minister of Innovation talking about the digital ambassadors that they have, which is very good because the young people get a chance to earn some money and to help older people understand the technology. Why can't we hear that some of these young accountants at university is added to ICAP to help carry out audits and to help assist in setting up systems or monitoring accounting systems in these various government departments, especially the statutory corporations, to improve the system?
Well, somebody here says, why are people acting like electric buses are an anomaly? How many have traveled to the U.S., Canada, or Europe and have had no issues? What kind of question is that?
Yeah, because we are not dealing with...
Because you've had no issues...
Transparency.
No, it is not just a transparency issue. Because you have had no issues does not mean that you don't need to be enlightened about the safety issues and whether there is any difference between what can happen when you are traveling on an electric bus that gets into an accident and what happens when you are traveling on another type of bus. You know, what are the safety implications?
Even strengthening your point more, for a guy that don't have a car, that electric bus becomes his car? No, so he needs to understand the changeover from the old car, which would be the old type of bus he was using with the fossil fuel, to the electric one. He needs to understand how it functions.
I begin by saying to you that the first people who should be telling you about the difference in technology and what it requires are the people who work in fire safety and that sort of thing. I really believe that Barbados is missing something in that regard. But that's my view. I mean, I can say to you, my view is not the only view. And people who have alternative perspectives on it are free to share their own. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. What's on your mind today? Hello?
Hello?
Just turn your radio off, please, because it's too loud in the background.
Okay.
Yes, please. Wow, really loud.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir. Hi. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel the government should got all electric vehicles?
Okay. No problem with
the
that.
The reason is, there's something that you don't know, and most of the public of Barbados don't know. The most of the diesel that the government pays for, their vehicles don't use. I want you to pick sense out of that.
Well, I am not in favor of the promotion of diesel vehicles. I am in favor of the transition to electric vehicles as much as possible. So don't interpret my comment or my call for more education, safety education and stuff, to be an opposition to that idea. But I'm really very concerned about the extent to which diesel vehicles have been encouraged in Barbados, even in recent times. And I think it's a mistake. Because of all that has been said about diesel vehicles and health considerations.
You know the millions of dollars in diesel that the transport board used to lose during the year? The people that sell the diesel to the private people.
Well, that's not because it's diesel, that's because it's corruption.
Corruption, yes.
So
they can't sell the electricity.
All right. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You on the air?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Morning. You're very early.
I'm early because I would like to stay back on what I'm going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't expect the moderator to ask my questions.
Mm-hmm.
If the moderator can, that'd be nice. But I ask questions hoping that if his husband came on just now, someone in the government could come and answer simple questions that is that from the like. just to come and show off, but they don't ask serious questions. Now, my question today is this. On the 5th of May, 2018, we was told that the Treasury was empty. I move forward to now. Yesterday, listening to Mrs. Bynoe, the CEO of the hospital, she explained to us that they just have to employ waste haulers to take away equipment from the waste from the hospital because the plant is not working. And it will cost something like $10 million to get a new plant. And I sit there and listen to her. But this morning now, listening to my news again, the Minister of Health explained to me that 90-odd nurses from Ghana arrived, which FM Conking Good, that over 200 nurses since the 1st of March that have arrived in Barbados. What I want to find out from someone in the Ministry of Finance, not the Ministry of Health, in the Ministry of Finance, if we can find $10 million to replace an important plant, where the money is going to come from to pay over 200 nurses and accommodate them?
You know that government is about how you allocate scarce resources. That's what good government is all about. So, if you were in the position of the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, would you not, on the basis of priorities, determine where you were going to get that money from? Because something else would have to go a-begging. Because you have decided that this particular area is a priority area.
Okay, Mr. Ellis, I understand you. I didn't really put that question to you, but as you try to answer it, call you and answer it, you try. Are you saying the plant is not a priority?
Pardon? Which plant?
You don't know that when limbs are taken off in 10 hospitals, they've got to send them off in private haulers because the plant ain't working at the hospital? You listened to Ms. Bynoe yesterday, Mrs. Bynoe?
I didn't hear her yesterday, no.
Okay, what I'm trying to say is this. No one is saying that Barbados need nurses. First of all, the total amount is strange, over 200. Just like the, as we were just discussing the buses, if you're going in for something, you don't start with that big number. They should have bought at least 10 buses and tried them first. I ain't dealing with the bus issue. I'm dealing with the health today. What I'm saying is this. I listen to all prime ministers. And all prime ministers have a technique that at the end of the day, as I said on, I think it's Wednesday, we suffer a lot in this country because we're not taking note of what is going on. I don't believe that this program with the nurses is only to help the Ministry of Health. Because I'm telling you this, you can, up to today, we don't know if they have a year contract or 5 year contract. If they have it, it wasn't published that I was hearing. Now, you can't take a male or female nurse away from the husband and children for the 2, 3, 4, 5 years. The family will follow. So we have 200 nurses there, like what we had when we first came back in 2006. We have some from Ghana and Nigeria. I don't know if you can remember that.
Yes.
And then they give the testers to say, what happened, Miss Ellis? They failed them.
So they gave them the test after they got here?
Miss Ellis, I can only deal with what the news say. And you in the news, you should know more about the news.
They were given the test after they got
here? They were given tests here. I read that in the paper.
It would make sense to bring people here and then test them?
No, Mr. Ellis, I'm not saying these that come now. That is what happened. I'm talking about Dane. I'm talking about...
Do we need nurses... Do we need a lot of nurses in Barbados, in your judgment?
Mr. Ellis, we need... Listen, wait now, Miss Ellis. Wait now, as you and I are speaking. I would like to give each of my grandchildren about $25,000. But it's what you can afford. is what you can afford. Barbados at this time.
That is a judgment call.
What is a judgment call?
May I just make my point? In the same way that you sometimes come here and tell me how you think I should run the program, and I tell you...
No.
I want to stay there. And I say to you, look, but that's my judgment call. All right? On the other hand, when you deal with the Prime Minister and the Ministry of Finance and the determination as to where the priorities lie, it is her judgment that Barbados...
Well, doesn't he have to talk to her about her judgment thing? That's what I'm saying. The news media of this country have to have a serious conversation with our Prime Minister.
But I cannot... But in looking at the situation relating to the nurses in the country, we have been discussing a nursing shortage for several years. And you know...
all of us know that.
And you know full well that you cannot... Look, today, there's a situation... I mean, we haven't reached that point, and we don't want to reach that point. I was just recently listening to a situation in Zimbabwe where...
Miss Ellis, where are you taking me?
Hold on. Where pregnant women have been losing their babies because of a shortage of nurses.
Seven babies
dead
in one night, Miss Ellis.
Right. 8 of them or something like that.
Seven.
So basically what you want to do, I know that for a long time we have been confronted with this problem here. So your argument is that there are other priorities within the hospital that...
This is not argument. I started to let you know that a plan at the hospital is not functioning. That I believe...
Why is it not functioning? Because of a lack of money?
Call the Minister of Health and ask him.
No. Alvin, you can't come to the conclusion, though, that the reason it is not functioning is because no money is being put behind it.
That is what the CEO said.
There's no money to fix it? That's what she said?
She said, Mr. Evans, you got...
I told you I didn't hear it.
The problem is we cannot have this new plan because there's no funds. That is why I tell you that, because this government is a... We pushed down a fire station and borrowed $20 million to build another one. A fire station was good, you know, but we can't find money to replace a plant like hospital that we could have borrowed half of the $20 million and put a new plant there, that you won't have to be sending the blood and limbs and things by private waste haulers that one could drop off, and the waste hauler only know when he gets to his destination. Oh, you don't know about that neither.
Oh, this is the issue with the blood that fell off, do you think?
Mr. Ellis, you got to keep in touch with your news, man.
Boy, I try my best.
Yeah, if it's too much, you could pay me to help you.
Who, you?
Yeah, me as Trickle.
I interest you in that domain. You would only care
DLP news. Let me finish off my what I believe. I don't believe that this is only a nurse plan. This is part of the population plan. This is another thing coming through the back door.
Oh, you got concerned with the population plan?
Listen, this is another backdoor move. Because each of those nurses, unless the government changes in 2023, will be sooner or later citizens of this country too, with all the children. It's a population plan, and I don't like the backdoor bit.
She's on bread, man. You're really stretching this one here.
It's not a stretch. You're dealing with people.
Well, it's a population. Look, it's a population plan in the sense that it is part of the concern that Barbados has not been replacing its population fast enough. And then what that does is that it forces us then to have to look to bring in certain skills that are in short supply. I understand that. But you know, I know, if I know you, you're not talking about a population plan. You sound like Trump. You see it as an election plan.
Listen, Miss Ellis, when a person stand up on your toes, you feeling it. this government from the time it entered was doing backdoor things. The very first thing this government did, that the media were not deal with them with, is then two persons was named to the Senate, and our Governor General, who respected and loved Prime Minister, Governor General, refused them. And late at night, about 5 o'clock at night, this administration went to Parliament and changed the Constitution of Barbados to allow those two people in.
Okay.
Slapping the Governor General in her face.
Alvin, I won't come back to this thing here. This issue of the priority for the incinerator, because that's what the issue is about. You see the incinerator old.
Yeah.
It implies that it was old in 2018 when the government changed.
Yeah.
Right. It implies also that for all the time that it was there as an old incinerator, nothing was done to change it. Indeed, they say there's a story here saying that the incinerator at the QEH had been repaired in 2018, but had been given about 2 more years to remain operable. So this is at the core of the problem with respect to the vials falling off the truck. And, you know, this is all part and parcel of what a number of statutory corporations in Barbados are facing because of the long period of austerity that we've been through. There are so many things that need to be fixed right now.
But I got to ask you a question before you go, Mr. Allen. Are you really going through the problem that you now mentioned? Listen, we have the most advisors in Barbados history getting paid all sorts of large sums of money, Mr. Allen. We got so many little 3 or 4 ministers that just get transferred. I want you to keep an eye on those, and I can show you that within months, those persons can be hooked up in little areas about to go past the same salary that was getting rid of the minister. Keep an eye on it.
This woman says, I thank the government for bringing the Ghanaian and Cuban nurses to this island. They recently had a baby, and I witnessed the necessity for the additional nursing complement at the QEH. I hope going forward, the government recruits additional pediatric surgeons because it seems to be in short supply in that area.
We never had a problem before with that. There's a new one. This is someone waxing you up to justify
that. This person says that incinerator was old 20 years ago.
It ain't how long it was old. It is that the point about it is, the same way you could bring in 200 people one time to pay, you could have got a loan and pay monthly to get the plant new.
Well, that is Alvin's view.
No, I want, because we're paying real advisors.
Alvin is in a fighting mood today.
A friend of mine just told me a couple of days ago, he said, Alvin, you believe how much offices, how many locations you think the Ministry of Finance got right now? Miss Ellis, you got an idea how many? Besides Bay Street?
I don't know the total number. I think in the interest of transparency, the government...
In the interest of what?
Transparency. The government could and perhaps should let people know where we stand now in relation to where the Dems were, because you know full
don't
well
the Dems. We
that, that was highly that was criticized and came to the fore very early when the government changed. I really do think that these areas, the government still has to keep faith with the country.
That lady told you there, because y'all don't take us serious. You know, we can't attack the government. That's all y'all be talking. Y'all only dealing with what is being said, the messenger, like Mr. Franklin, y'all going after the government. I heard between that lady and there, count the amount of advisors within the Ministry of Finance alone. Within that one ministry.
I am not going to be. I am not among the people who will support a situation where there is an expansion in the number of consultants that the Barbados Labour Party administration can get on its high horse and criticize the number of consultants and advisors under the Dems, and then come and sit down and do as it pleases and don't believe that it owes the people of Barbados any explanation as to how it is spending their money. I'm not supporting that at all.
I know that I'm leaving you, Dr. Climasco. I don't want him in your studio because he will take over the moderator job. He does it all the time. But I will let him to explain to me, because the last time, not the last time, Miss On decided to call him a day, and he told her they're not printing money. The central bank is the government bank, and they just get overdrafts. And he told her at that time not to worry about her income tax, what she was working on, that they just had an overdraft of $92 million. I want to know if the government is using the central bank to help finance Barbados. I would like Mr. Masker to call.
You had a good run today, though, so let's move on.
You enjoy. But Ms. Sears, give me a good run, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, two days in a row, that means me and we'll hear you next week.
Okay, then. You have a good day.
Look, this person says it is outrageous that medical waste is transported in a vehicle that is susceptible to them falling off. There should be regulations for the transport of not just waste, but documents. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You're on the air?
Peace be unto you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
How are you this morning?
I'm well. How can I help you?
Well, I want you to give me a little privilege to explain myself.
To do what?
I told you last week I do not discuss politics, so I'm not here to speak about politics, DLP or BLP. I'm a citizen of Barbados. Now, I want to talk about the electric buses, but there's something that I'm studying for a long time that I want to give you a brief idea about first. I want where the Minister of Agriculture is concerned, not only to think about the production, raising the production of food in Barbados, but I want another minister who will be able to investigate the kind of food, especially fish foods, that are coming into this country from the fish farms and the toxins and the toxins that they are feeding the fish with, which causes people to have Alzheimer's and all sorts of things. But you can check it out for yourself before you deal with me.
Okay. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, hi.
I am an executive member of the Barbados Nurses Association.
Yes.
And I just want to respond to the gentleman, Alvin, who spoke about the 200 nurses that came in. First of all, Mr. Alvin is wrong. There were not 200 nurses. To my mind, there were 100. The second thing is that the minister did speak to the length of service here. He said it's a two-year contract. Further to that, I just want to say that nursing in Barbados is quite understaffed. And we in the Barbados Nurses Association project that we need at least 500 nurses. And that is, I think that was sometime last year. And as I speak to you, there are nurses, I won't name the hospital, but I believe it covers more than one, who at this point in time, on their last days with those establishments, because they are still leaving Barbados because of varying reasons. And I want to end by saying, we in the Barbados Nurses Association fully support the Ghanaian nurses who come here. I am quite sure that they're very qualified, that they can speak English. If you heard the news this morning, you would have heard one of them responding. And I can verify that the ones who were interviewed in Ghana can speak English and can relate to the people of Barbados. And
talk to us and a little bit about the nursing crisis that Barbados has been facing and how it has changed. Has it gotten worse?
In terms, well, we have seen improvement in the RENR examination. In the last examination, we had better results. I, therefore, will not say that it's getting worse, but what I will say to you is that for many years, nurses have been leaving Barbados and going overseas because there are many opportunities overseas that aren't available here.
Do you anticipate that COVID is going to have an impact on their movement out now?
It
could slow it down.
If it will slow it down?
Could it slow it down?
I don't know, because we are experiencing COVID, even though in a limited sense at this time, but they are going to countries where COVID is even seen in greater numbers. And I know for sure that in Britain, some of our nurses who journeyed there some time ago came down with COVID. So I don't know if it will slow it down or if, taking into consideration that there may be greater incidents there, it may.
Yes, there is that possibility. But more significantly, the question that we really need to look at is the extent to which we are preparing nurses that are really fit for purpose within Barbados. One of the concerns that I've heard raised over the years is that there seems to have been, we are producing a nurse that seems not to be up to the kind of standard of the past. Because it seems as though, in the judgment of some, you're trying your best to produce as many nurses as you possibly can, as fast as you can. And this may well be contributing to a reduction in the quality of what we are producing. What is your own counter to that?
Let me tell you truthfully, I was a nursing tutor, and I totally agree with that statement. First of all, what I would say is that they need additional nursing instructors on the ground in all institutions. In some institutions, indeed, they have none.
Okay, well, look, I want you to stay online because I need to come back to you to explore this particular question. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. When we went to the news, we had on the telephone line someone who said that she is a former nursing tutor. And I believe, ma'am, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Would you be willing to identify yourself, or you want to remain anonymous?
Perhaps, maybe at the end, I may say who I am.
Okay, fine. Now, somebody wants to know on what basis you have come to the conclusion that we need 500 nurses from abroad.
I never said we needed them from abroad.
Okay.
I said we are short by about 500 nurses.
All right.
Let me further explain this. The nursing establishment has not been increased for many, many years. I cannot remember the last year it was increased. And over the years, what has happened is, in the QEH, in the psychiatric hospitals, and other service areas, we have increased the service to clientele. We have included things like water warehouse at psychiatric hospital. We have sent and trained nurses to go into the community. But these were drawn from the staff already in place. And no effort was made to expand nursing staff to meet the needs of the society. They were expanding the services, but not the staff.
So what's the total complement that we've been using over the years, unexpanded?
It has not been expanded.
But about how many nurses?
The problem comes.
About how many nurses have we been using in the system overall, therefore?
To be honest with you, I cannot give you the overall total at this point in time. Mm-hmm. I cannot.
Right. So you believe that all in all, we have a crisis as it relates to the number of nurses that are available. This person,
yes, we do.
This person writes here, the nursing crisis was very real back in my time. A ward of 24, sometimes critically ill patients, and one nurse and a nursing assistant. The assistant can't share medications. So that's one nurse to share all of the medication, and the assistant doing vitals. Therefore, no one to admit patients from A&E. So they stay downstairs. And I had many a nightmare of patients going into cardiac arrest or having a massive bleed and having to recruit a patient who is ambulatory to help. Can you believe that? I remember one fellow with a bandaged foot having to hop to the phone to call the operator to get more help to the ward in an emergency. Ridiculous.
Exactly. Exactly. And because nurses have been tolerating it for years, do not mean that they are going to still tolerate it today. Indeed, if we are talking about providing quality nursing care, it is totally unacceptable. First, it is not giving the patient the optimum care, thereby reducing the possibility of an early and a recovery that will facilitate optimum functioning outside. And then look at the nurse. Think about it. The nurse who worked that ward, and they know what she speaks to, 24 patients to one registered nurse who has the total responsibility for patient care. It's not only Sherry Mason, it's making the observations too, because there's some observations that the nursing assistant cannot make. So you are burning out that nurse, and I know it, by standing in QEH on a night duty, and sometimes you do not get to sit. And you go throughout the night. And I recall many a morning in those times that I walked Song River Road, and sometimes I laughed at it after, wasn't sure how I got home.
This person says that
what we want today.
This person is saying that they find it unbelievable that a person like yourself wouldn't be agitating to preserve employment here, but would be glad to have Ghanaians instead. How do you respond to that?
I am saying to the person that they are not sure what they're speaking to. We are not saying not to preserve employment here. We would love the nurses to remain here. But the reality is that we do not have enough, even if the nurses who are on the establishment remain here, we do not have enough. So we are asking that in the time that the Ghanaian nurses remain here, that we put things in place to encourage the nurses to remain here. Indeed, this morning, I'm using my cell phone. Otherwise, I would read from a message I sent to a young nurse who was awarded Nurse of the Year last night. And he was one of my students, and I have seen his progression, and I'm very proud of him. I have said to him, as I say to you, I'm retired. And let me say to the person, I have retired and not retired because I gave at least 12 hours per week to the ministry to deal with nursing. So indeed, I am retired, but I volunteer, and there are a number of people like me. Our thing is to increase the nursing complement here. To ensure, we want to know that the nurses here are equipped with the knowledge and skills that they can look after the people of Barbados. And let me say to the person, and this is being personal, I had the opportunity twice to live in the United States. Indeed, I have six sisters who live in the United States, and my mother did. But you know what? I wanted to serve my country, and I did. And sometimes I look back at it, and I wonder, did you make the right choice? But you know what? I am happy with the choice that I made, and I am still committed today to the institution that I worked for over 42 years. I am fiercely loyal to this country and to the institution that I work at. So I will not say to her or him that we want the nurses to leave. Indeed, we want as many Bajan nurses to remain here, but the truth is we have no control over the nurses who determine that they want to leave. That is their choice. What we may want is to ask them to stay when they say to you, I am going because X, Y, and Z. We have no control over it.
When they talk about X, Y, and Z, what are the common factors?
They talk about the conditions of service, the need for further training. They talk about remuneration, all these things, and they're not satisfied with it. Furthermore, the nurses are saying that successive governments have paid little attention to nursing. And because we in the Barbados Nurses Association see our organization as a professional organization, a lot of things that other trade unions may encourage up front, we try not to encourage. So I say that to say this. While the other professionals may seek to come and to put everything out in the public, we try to work through these things with the ministry and so on. And that is why I do not know. I think I will recall the day in 83, that the nurses went on strike. Then since then, have you had a general nurses strike? No, because we want to serve our country, and we try our best to discourage those actions. But I'm saying to you this now. The people of my generation are in the minority now within the nursing profession, and the young people are not seeing things the way that we did.
But you have to look at this from two angles. You have the people who are being trained and are leaving Barbados, and then you have a general population situation where the Prime Minister has been repeating this view that we haven't replaced the population quickly enough. So we don't. The pool of people from whom we can draw and who will go into nursing is smaller than it ought to be. So in those circumstances, you have a demand for people from outside. Now, this is creating its own general challenge, and of course there are many people who they feel a way about the fact that Barbados has to go in that direction. This person says, in reference to the crisis that another person spoke about on the ward, they said, I am a nurse and this happens to this day, one nurse and a nursing assistant at night and sometimes on other shifts, sometimes 18 baths, medication, very ill patients. Then you have to call another ward to ask for someone to sign morphine. Very little equipment, sheets, medications to work with. It is horrible, says this person. Now, these are things that are very well covered up in Barbados generally until you open up a discussion on this and people then come forward to share with you what really is happening. And it is important to know, because otherwise you assume that all is well when it is not. And there are people...
It is not well.
...who have a vested interest in trying to smooth over the cracks and give the impression that, you know, we don't have a problem. But if you give the impression that all is well on the one hand, then when you try your best to correct the problem in this way, then people say, but why do you need to do it? You really haven't made enough of a case for doing it. So that is why you're caught in a dilemma as to whether
exactly.
You're going to reveal or conceal.
Exactly. The young male nurse that was named Nurse of the Year last night, he was one of the persons that I, in my attachment at BCC, would have trained. And I say to him this morning in my WhatsApp conversation that I have done all that I can to promote nursing and young people. And I am hoping and looking to him to continue to do it, because the way that I see it, you cannot be there all the time. There comes a time when you must leave. Therefore, if you have an interest in your profession, and if you are interested in your country, you need to prepare people so that you can feel quite safe in moving on, knowing that they are capable of carrying on. And that has been my thing for all the years that I have served. And even now, it is there is another issue that is burning me, but I will not discuss it in public until I have spoken to the sources. You know why? And because at this point in time, as I said, I have retired, but I still do things. And I am wondering, should I allow this to continue to burden me? Because stress impacts your health. Is it wise?
Mm-hmm.
But it needs addressing.
Well, you
I
are
speak to the persons that, to the persons, and then if it isn't addressed, then I will speak.
You are an executive member of the Barbados Registered Nurses Association, and you've spoken
yes,
quite eloquently. You are also a former nursing instructor, you say? Now,
I retired as a senior tutor.
What's your name?
My name is Heather Dean.
Heather Dean?
D-E-A-N-E.
Okay, Heather Dean. Well, thank you very much for coming on Down to Brass Tacks and sharing your views on this matter.
And one other thing I will say to you as I leave,
yeah.
I can speak to the about the Ghanaian nurses because I was part of the delegation to Ghana. Have a good afternoon, sir.
Thank you very much.